think we're good right about there. This is awesome.
Well, welcome to the Barbershop Quartet at Black Hat 2016 Security Guy Radio. We got two guests here from CyberSN. So what's your name, sir?
My name is Kyle Kennedy. I'm the CISO at CyberSN.
All right. And what's your name?
My name is Mike Tang. I'm the CTO at CyberSN.
CTO. Okay. So we got the Chief Information Security Officer and the Chief Technical Officer.
Absolutely.
How are those two different? Those two positions.
One deals with the internal systems. The other one actually deals with security.
Oh, okay.
So they are technically, not technically the same, but we do have a lot
work
of crossover.
Yeah.
So we like to kind of consider ourselves in orbit around each other.
Oh, interesting.
So don't silo off the positions. We actually work together to make sure that we can achieve both security and technology functionality within
fulfillment.
A couple
years from now, there's going to be about three more C-level positions all around security and cyber. So.
I mean, it's interesting you touch on that. I mean, really, the Chief Information Security Officer focuses a lot on information technology historically,
right.
But it's really about business security. So
it
that's
is,
one of the
right.
big things.
Ultimately.
So business security, physical security.
And leadership, policy
leadership,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's what we focus on, and that's how that circle, if you will, that interchange between Mike and myself, that's how we...
Yeah. Now, what does CyberSN do? I know the answer, but it's a new show, so I have to ask the question.
Absolutely. So CyberSN is a cybersecurity company that is just focused on recruiting cybersecurity professionals.
Uh-huh,
and why I start off with cybersecurity company is because we come from the industry. We've been in the industry. Our recruiters have come from the industry as well, recruiting IT talent, recruiting security talent. And that's our niche. That's what we focus on. And that's where our passion is.
Now, I talked to Deidre. Did I get it right?
Yes,
absolutely.
You did.
All right.
Deidre, yes.
See, now I forgot her last name. What an idiot.
Diamond.
Diamond. Deidre absolutely. Diamond, which sounds like a Bond girl. It sounds great.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. I mean, she gets all this stuff. And after that show, I felt badly because I was worried. They have all these great things we've done interviews with this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
50 shows.
Yeah.
And it can all go away because there's not enough people to push the buttons.
Well, it's like
I'm worried about it.
Yeah, it's like a zero unemployment game. But from what we are hearing, and you guys can confirm, it's not whether you can find the talent. It's whether you can retain the talent.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Comment on that a little bit. Why is that? Is it just a different profile of people that are in cybersecurity and IT? Or
I think really what it gets down to is as a human, you want to be passionate about the work that you do.
Okay.
And I think what often happens is inside of organizations, that talent is there, but that talent isn't cultivated. And what I mean by cultivating that talent is it's training. It's giving good projects, you know, giving a structure
right.
of what those projects are, what that growth opportunity is, et cetera. And when that's not there, then somebody is idle. And when they're idle, it's hard to, you know, hold on to that talent.
This is a great point. This is a, for lack of a better term, these are creative people.
Absolutely.
A lot of people might not categorize them as that. They're going to categorize them as technical people. I don't think that's true.
No.
It's creative. And creative people, you got to keep them engaged and kind of keep moving. A guard that sits on a post for 8 hours and doesn't move, I couldn't do that.
I completely agree with you, Chuck. Absolutely.
I'd go insane.
Yeah.
So the same token, good managers have to recognize that if you guys are your brainiacs and your brains are spinning 1,000 miles an hour, I got to keep you engaged.
Absolutely.
And I can't just say, I have a task for you. That task is done. Now sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, but that's a tall order because I think you get, no matter where you are, who you're dealing with, if your management is tough, right, because you have to find that balance with all of your team members about what buttons to push for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And in this creative space, you don't want to get any of your team members to become restless, right?
Absolutely.
But you have to keep a lot on their plate. So now you're battling against a work-life balance and burning people out. So how is the,
absolutely.
I mean, is the cyber world not doing a good job at that? Or
my guess is the managers, not the employees. I always fall back to, if I have hired over 3,000 people in my career and managed them at some point, right?
Yeah.
And if somebody leaves, I feel it's on me.
Yeah.
I've always felt that way as a manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you guys think?
You want to take that one, Mike? You want me?
Yeah.
I mean, I completely agree. I think managers need to have skills, and they have to evolve, right? And the workforce that's coming in needs to evolve as well, and they are evolving. And I think with managers, you have to really tap into what's passionate. And I keep going back to passion, right? Because passion is what drives you. I mean, I've been in the cybersecurity, or I should say the information security business for, 20 plus years. And I've seen, I've led, I've been a leader, I've been led, et cetera. But if you're not passionate about what you're doing and what your organization is doing, it's hard to work, 24 hours. Let's say you're in a SOC and you're a SOC analyst. You're going to stay there for the throughout the entire time of the incident. The incident's not going to solve up in 8 hours.
Right. And everybody we've spoken to, without no exceptions, right, has been passionate about their business.
Very much so.
Doing.
Absolutely.
Much different than the physical security guys who are kind of like, I got a camera. It's better than your camera. It's like, okay. You know, it's just different. It's
so
different,
how about right? So how about transitioning somebody who's doing code or somebody who's working on a network design? How is the industry really tapping into developing those people?
That's a great question.
The managers? Because now we're talking about a 10-year problem, right?
Yeah.
So there's not enough people even on the baseline cybersecurity jobs right now. How is the industry, is it transforming up? Is it not doing a good job with that? Where do you guys see it going?
And I think I come from a coding background.
Right.
And so I've learned a lot coming into the cybersecurity industry as far as the things that I just took for granted and didn't do well.
Okay.
Not because I didn't intend them to do well, but because they weren't the functionality that was necessary to actually meet the requirement. And so making the transition into more management, I know that doing the research and taking the time to talk through the security concerns of the marketplace, I can bring that back effectively to the coders, to my coding team.
Right.
Like you say, you can't just code the functionality. You have to think through this.
But can everybody do that? And I think that's an individual thing, right? Some people can talk up and talk down, but no matter where you go, technical people are not always the first ones to raise their hand and say, put me in charge of the whole group.
And Ted, you're absolutely correct. And what it gets down to, I think, is learning those skills, right?
Right.
And learning those soft skills. And when we say soft skills, I can't tell you how many times people will roll their eyes. Soft skills, that's just talking. No, it's not.
I'm good at talking, and everybody else.
And I can give you a hug,
right?
And that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, the soft skills break down to, if you're a SOC analyst, you have to articulate what your business value is as to what you do.
Yeah.
And that's a skill.
All comes down to
it doesn't matter.
It
and
does.
It's about people and interacting.
It's absolutely right.
And oftentimes, the reluctant leader is the best leader, right? And so developing those skills over time is actually a good investment for a company to make and for an individual contributor to make as well. To
now,
understand and be in control of that.
Focuses a lot on diversity and bringing women into the
that is one
IT
of our core
workplace.
Tenets, especially with our CEO.
Yeah, it's kind of
I'm glad we have some women in our quartet here. I mean,
we're all men talking about it,
which kind of makes it interesting.
Well, it actually makes it better because we're talking about it, which is exactly
what we need to talk about. Yeah.
So
we need to have this conversation.
Is it a good old boys club and it doesn't attract women for that reason? You know, I would say maybe, but police departments, talk about good old boys clubs, right?
Absolutely.
Police departments for years were
not a good playground.
Well, even when I started in the 80s, 83, I had a sergeant, Patty Natsman, who'd been a police officer already in 1983. She'd been in 20 years. Talk about a tough job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, back in the day. Now, I don't think it's an issue now. There may be some people, like in any business, where that's a resistance, but it's really normalized in police departments.
Absolutely.
Why is it not normalized in IT? Because believe me, a police department's a tougher gig. To get into, right?
Absolutely. And so I think part of to answer that question, I'll talk a little bit about kind of a story.
And you've got an organization that helps with that, right?
Well, we've got an organization, Brain Babe, which is focused on that.
Yeah.
And I'll touch into why Brain Babe is why we came up with that name in a second here. But some of the work that I do with government agencies, I focus on human trafficking takedowns. And with human trafficking takedowns, what's interesting, not the activities, but the people that are involved, you find out that they're hyper-diverse. And what I mean by hyper-diverse, it's women and men working together. They don't realize it because there's an anonymity cloud around it. So it's really focused all around the skills. And that's really where the conversation needs to go when we start talking about cybersecurity, information security. It's about skills. What skills do you have and how do those skills map to a project? And that's what we're focusing from a delivery perspective, being actionable about getting more women into the environment is CyberSend is focused on the action. Let's find placement. Let's get more women in. But Brain Babe is focused on that message of men and women working together to open up the doors and to really have those conversations and start building that strength around why is somebody a Brain Babe? Well, we came about from Boot Babes. So I think everybody remembers RSA and Boot Babes. Yeah. And RSA had a teaching moment, if you will, as an organization. Instead of banning them, which they did, why not open up the doors and give them an opportunity and teach them their products and services? And that's really where Brain Babe came from, which is, let's talk about the brain, because at the end of the day, men and women, it's about the brain. It's about
your
skills.
That's it.
You know, so that's what we focus on.
I know several women that, not like Charisse, but that are interested in it. It's a pastime.
Absolutely.
They're little geniuses. It's not their actual profession.
Yeah.
But and I wonder why they're not making the leap. And I've asked, why don't you go get a job doing that? Well, here's one answer. I don't have an official degree. I'm not officially trained. Yeah. You know, I don't think Bill Gates had a degree.
No, I totally agree with
that. Garage, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Of all industries, I think this
is this a problem? Because
absolutely.
You know, if you put your application on Monster and it doesn't match all the things that are on the computer, you're not going to get called.
Absolutely. Right? So it's really about, you know, zeroing in on what that project is, what the core skills are for that project. And it's streamlining the information. And what I mean by streamlining, it's having a common lexicon, a common vernacular between the person that's searching and the hiring. So instead of it being four pages, if you're a talent searcher and you're looking for an opportunity, you want to know, what is my day going to be like? So let's break it down into percentages. Let's talk about what that day is. What's my growth going to be in 6 months, 9 months, 12 months?
See, I don't think the majority of people are asking those kind of questions.
No, they're not.
Searching in. When some people look for a job, they're like, okay, I want this, I want this, I want this. Very few people ask themselves, what do I want to wear to work? What do I literally want my day to look like? What time do I want to start? That's interesting that you say that.
Yeah, and getting in control of that, to answer your question a little bit, it's not necessarily looking at what job you want to be doing and then think that you can get to that job in one step.
Right.
Oftentimes when I mentor people, it's a process. It's like, okay, I want to be doing this type of role. Let's break that down. What type of skills are you going
to
need? What type of job do you need to take
today
to actually get there tomorrow? Right.
Right. Right.
A lot of what I do around Brain Babe is I'm a school committee member in a local high school in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I know I spend an awful lot of time mentoring STEM. And one of the big things that we have, concerns that we have, is how do we get more girls engaged in engineering? First, robotics is a big thing to bring a lot of engineers into. It's you know, industry has invested an awful lot of money on these types of programs that teach critical thinking. And one of the things that we've really determined is we go further down into the middle schools, right? Get teams involved and get teams diversified before gender roles really take effect. Get people, both males and females, girls and boys, saying in their heads and realizing that they can do this, right? Yeah. And then it will take time. It takes time. Yeah. Anything that is really good and worth pursuing does take time.
Sheree started when she was 12 or something.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. She was in cybersecurity before it was cool.
Yeah.
Her mom, actually, it's a pretty cool story, and it follows exactly what you just said. Her mom made her take advanced AP classes and computer science classes before they were even offered in middle school. So that's when she started her computer science degrees, before they even offered it.
Absolutely.
And it was her parents that did that.
Yep.
And today she's been, you know, consistently doing it for almost 20 years.
Is this a problem unique to the United States? Because I call it a brain drain, dumbing down of America. We're trying to homogenize people in education and, we're all the same, let's hold hands. It's all a bunch of baloney to me, all right? We're strength because we're all a little different and we're individual.
Absolutely.
And when you try to make everybody the same, there's no innovation, right? Can I get a bunch of smart women from India? I'm kind of thinking I probably can.
Absolutely.
Right?
But what's interesting, Chuck, is what you touch on is that collective mind share, right, of creativity that comes about. That's what we see when we do takedowns in dark web, is the hyper-diversity creates that hyper, you know, incredible mind share.
Because it's all about capabilities.
It's about capabilities.
That's all they care about.
It's all they care about. Can you do it?
Can you produce?
Absolutely.
Well, the criminals do a lot better job at running enterprises.
Absolutely.
Which is ironic.
And they recruit.
They recruit
a lot better as well, because they're about the skills and the target. And can you do that?
Very interesting.
And we need to really, as an industry, need to get back to brass tacks, which is about the skills. Can you do the job?
I just did a show with Logan Clark.
Okay.
He's one of the big investigators in this space about, you know, trafficking and sex trafficking. And he brings up similar points that these guys are so slick in what they do. If you made them a CEO of Microsoft, it'd make $1 billion more.
Absolutely.
Because they have that people skill.
Well,
ability.
They have the focus. They're aimed at doing one thing, whether that's stealing or whether that's hacktivism.
Absolutely.
And when they gather anybody they can find to help in that cause and not worry about all the other stuff.
They're not limited in their approach.
They're not limited in their approach.
They don't have to take a standard process.
Corporate world is not doing a good job of that. We still have, you know, it's too structured still.
We put people in boxes, and then we say, you know, we want, let's say, software testers and penetration testers. We put them in a box and say, you can only test this way.
Right.
And actually, the first question you asked
is limiting.
What's putting us in boxes? What's the difference between the CTO and the CISO? You put us immediately into boxes. And actually having cross-functional positions.
Just define the end state.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Get a good leader to define the end state, find the right team that can work together.
And make that happen.
Who cares what the titles are, right?
Exactly.
Now, is there any my kids just graduated college a year or two ago.
Okay.
And their university had some of these exchange programs where, and why dumb kids, why they didn't do it, I don't know. They could have gone to Spain. They could have gone to Australia. They could have gone anywhere.
So you'll have to tell me more about that because I got three daughters that are growing up. So, you got to tell me more.
My daughter was in nursing school, and she could have gone to almost any country and lived for 6 months or a year and done this, right? Are you looking at those type of programs? Maybe we send a high school student that is interested in cybersecurity to some brain center in India.
Absolutely.
Right? Where they, I mean, you can pick up the phone and these guys know what they're talking about.
And actually, it opens their, it expands their mind because they're forced to see things differently. They're not stuck in how they've actually studied from the time that they were in kindergarten right through the time they were in high school.
Now, by the way, are women in other countries involved in IT security, cybersecurity, more so than the United States? Or is it just kind of a global problem?
I don't have the specific numbers, but my gut instinct says it's a global problem.
Interesting.
I mean, a lot of the statistics, a lot of the numbers state, you know, we have, I think last I read it was 7 or 8% of the workforce are women and 1% are in leadership. And that 1% in leadership speaks to kind of the experience that they have going into the market.
Right.
Some can stay, they can keep their eyes on glass or keep their fingers on keyboard, and they're willing to go through the pain and they get into the leadership position, but a lot drop out.
I was telling Deidre yesterday that, you know, in my mind, if we have a female shortage, that means that most people in the workforce are men. We're missing 50% of our workforce.
Absolutely.
We don't bring the women in. We could double the workforce just by bringing in women alone.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Who I think are naturally a lot better at some things.
Absolutely.
You know, when you start talking about risk management, when you start talking about multitasking, I mean, these are things that I think women naturally do better than men.
Oh, honestly, yeah. That's true. And they're comparable, if not exceed men, a lot of times in problem solving.
Yeah. Right. That's interesting.
That's what we're finding at the high school level in robotics, is that you throw a division of the problem to girls and to boys. The girls,
they beat
then
them.
They're looking at it through not very structured, but more creative approach.
But you have to develop that at the lower
level. Teams, do the women work better together than the men do?
We try to make them all work together.
No, but why are the women, why are they more successful in those robotic models?
It's just a different perspective that they have, that they're looking at it. They're just looking at it more creative, not necessarily
linear or logical.
Because
I got nine sisters, and none of them get along,
right,
by the way.
Yeah.
So if I told my nine sisters to go build a robot, that would be World War III. That's a different story.
But
just kidding, but am I? All right.
But a lot of it is balance. It's finding the balance between different perspectives, right?
Right,
and is that balance all women? Is it all men? It could be. But oftentimes it isn't.
Brain Babe.
Brain Babe.
Briefly, it's brainbabe.com?
Brainbabe.org.
Oh, .org, okay.
Brainbabe.org, absolutely.
Right.
www.brainbabe.org.
We got cybersn.com.
Cybersn.com, yes.
Am I missing any?
No.
Changing the conversation of women in cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Great conversation, guys.
Cool. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now,
great
I want to get lots of positive email because the men are helping you guys out. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We'll do this.
All right, thanks, Ed.
We're good.
Appreciate it. Thanks, gentlemen.
I'm going to take this from you.
Good talk. Four guys.